Okay, so we are on page 81 in our book, and we're in the United Kingdom stage, and we have looked last week, our first class in this third block, and we began to look at the life of Saul, right? We saw how Samuel is the bridge between the judges and the kings, right? And Samuel, the last judge, who also is a prophet and a priest, but who God uses to anoint the first two kings. And so, of course, he anointed Saul. He and Saul had a very good relationship for a while, but of course, Saul disobeyed. We're not done learning about Saul. We'll learn about him tonight. Next week, we'll learn about his death. But Saul also played a very big part in the life of David. And not a good part, but a big part in his life. So we're going. We looked last week, of course, at Saul, his selection, and then, of course, his rejection. And tonight, we're going to look at David, Israel's finest king. When I say David, what's the first thing? Let's do word association. First thing that comes to your mind? Goliath.
Goliath. That's what you said.
King.
King, okay. The first thing that comes to my heart is a man after God's own heart. I mean, my mind. A man after God's own heart. So that's, you know, that's cool. That's, he was a man after God's own heart. And so we're, you know, did David have flaws? Yes. You know, David sinned big. But the wonderful thing about David is, congratulations, Dad.
Thank you.
The wonderful thing about David is when he sinned, he didn't try, well, yes, he tried to cover his sin, but when it was exposed, he didn't seek to make excuses. He took the blame, right?
Yeah.
Even wrote about it for us to, you know, learn from all these years later. So he was definitely a man after God's own heart. And you know, because David was a humble man, and, you know, God was able then to also use him. And God did mighty, mighty things with David. And we'll get into it more, not in this particular class for quite a while, but in our Sunday night class, we'll get into it. God's not done with David yet. God's going to use David in the millennial kingdom. So we'll talk about that, though, at another time. So David, of course, let's learn first about him, David the shepherd. So turn to 1st Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. And Barb, read verse 1 and then skip down and read verse 7.
Okay. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons.
Okay, just before you read verse 7. So Saul is rejected. Samuel is mourning over this, right? And basically God says to Samuel, get up. Get up. Get your horn. We're going to anoint another king. And go to Bethlehem. And go to the house of Jesse. So he goes to the house of Jesse, and he lines up all his sons, right? And, oh, look at this guy. Woo, you know, tall, big, you know, and goes through all the sons, right? And every, you know, surely this is the one, this is the one, this is the one. And God says, no, 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 no. Now read verse 7.
But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
Okay, so what was so important about David? His heart, right? Man looks on the outward appearance. What was Saul in relation to all the other Israelites? We learned last. He was head and shoulders taller, so he was a whole head taller. What's your head from? What's this about? 6-8 inches, you know. So depending how long his neck was, he had a turkey neck, you know. He could have been, but you know, 6-8 inches taller than everybody else. Don't look on the outward appearance. Look on the heart. Okay, and read Joanna, please read verses 11 through 13.
And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he.
Okay. One more, 13 too.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
So he anoints him, and an interesting statement there at the end. The Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. And, you know, of course, what's the difference between the Holy Spirit's ministry, Old Testament versus New Testament?
Came and
went in the Old Testament, right? New Testament, he indwells us permanently, right? I think this is why in Psalm 51, I love Psalm 51, but there's one part of Psalm 51 you and I don't have to pray, and that's take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We could adjust it a little bit and say, help me not to grieve thy Holy Spirit, but we don't have to worry about the Holy Spirit being taken from us, where it was possible, because we're going to see tonight that the Spirit of God left Saul, right?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, and we'll probably talk about it, just as the Holy Spirit came and went, that also left people open for evil spirits mm-hmm. to come and go.
Yep, you know, and that's why there's strong belief, myself included, that a believer, a true believer who has the Holy Spirit, cannot be possessed by a demon. We can be oppressed outward, but we can't be possessed, because John tells us in 1 John, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, you know, with God dwelling in our hearts through the Spirit, in our lives through the Spirit. A devil is not going to come. A demon is not going to come and be able to set up shop. So, okay? But what does the word ruddy mean? We don't use it anymore too often.
Red.
It means red, okay? It's the same word used for Esau when he came out and said he was red all over, okay? So, the debate amongst Hebrew scholars was David's complexion red, or was his hair red? And, you know, to have red hair in that culture when everybody else around you has black hair, you know, you kind of set out, you know. I mean, even today, right? It's very uncommon to see a redhead, right?
That's true, but I have met Jewish people
mm-hmm.
in today's culture
who have red hair.
Whose hair
yeah.
is red.
Craig Hartman's grandson, Joseph, has red hair.
Yep.
So.
Well, my grandson, Jameson, has red hair, but
yep.
we're not Jewish.
So.
Also, his grandmother and all that.
You don't know. Right. But it also carries the idea that he had a beautiful countenance and goodly to look upon.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking kid.
Put together.
Yep, and at this time he's a kid. He's a teenager, okay? He's the youngest. He's not even invited to the house when the prophet comes because he's out taking care of the sheep, right? So he comes and he's being a shepherd. Why is this vital? The fact that David was a shepherd, why is that vital for his ministry as king?
A warrior.
Okay. In what way?
That he can.
What did he kill?
Wipe out
the lion.
He killed a lion and a bear, right?
He was a protector.
Right, he was a protector. He was brave.
Right.
Shepherds weren't timid.
Not afraid of the dark.
No,
sure.
Not afraid of the dark.
Shepherds lead their
right.
flock.
Yep.
And butchers drive the flock.
Yep. And cattle are driven, you know. What do they always call it when you watch the westerns? We're going on a cattle drive, you know, because you got the cowboys in the back with the ropes and the whips, and they're you know. But a shepherd will be out front. Okay, so he learned to lead. He learned to be brave. We'll find out that it before he becomes king over all of Israel, he's also used to being alone. Okay? Sometimes being a leader can be a lonely place, right? And when he's out there alone and he's looking at God, who is he communing with? The Lord. So all of this is training for David. Isn't it interesting that Moses kept the sheep of his father Midian for 40 years, trained in Egypt for 40 years, trained as a shepherd for 40 years to lead Israel for 40 years. You know, so, and that's I think it's important to be alone, to be brave, to lead, to commune with God. You know, all of those things God would use in David's heart. Okay? All right?
There's a lot of things about shepherds that most folks don't know. Like take care of the insects, anointing the sheep with oil. If a lamb has a habit of wandering off, which sometimes they do, that shepherd will break their leg.
Yeah.
And then carry the lamb.
Yeah. Till the leg heals.
And then the result of that is that lamb will not leave his side after. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have any of you, I think his name, remember what his first, Philip Keller,
yeah.
A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
That's a it's classic, but that really opens up a lot of understanding to a shepherd, you know, and what the ministry of a shepherd is. And then, of course, what's the other thing? David is a picture, a type of
Christ,
our shepherd, okay? All right? So very important. Another thing we learn about David is David was a singer, right? Singer, songwriter, okay? And wrote, just read that somewhere, 78 of the Psalms we know are David's Psalms, okay? I actually looked that up this week because I started reading the Psalms of Asaph, and I thought that Asaph was the second, and he was. He wrote the I don't even remember how many now, but he wrote the second most. But there are 78 Psalms we know for sure David wrote. So he is by far the most prolific hymn writer, songwriter for Israel, okay? There are a few we don't know, which they could be David, you know. But even if they were Asaph, all of the ones we don't know, even if they were Asaph, it still wouldn't catch up to the amount that David wrote, okay? So he's a singer. He plays the harp. There's another good thing as a shepherd, you know. You're out there at night, lots of practice, you know, when the sheep are feeding or you know, sleeping and whatnot. And I'm sure, you know, think about David as a shepherd and think about Psalm 19. You know, think about, you know, when I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. And you know, it's just, and David would continue throughout his life to write songs, you know. Of course, because he's filled with the Spirit, so he's inspired by the Spirit to write these things. But in verse 14, now remember, what does it say in verse 13? The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And what does it say in verse 14? Departed from Saul. Okay? So Saul, right, and an evil spirit troubled him. So Saul no longer has the spiritual ability to lead Israel. Okay? The Lord has departed from him. And because it departed from him, he got cranky, and they sought somebody to come and play music. Right? What's that saying? Music calms the savage beast, right? You know, I guess music has a effect on people. And no, not I guess. Music does have an effect on people. And, you know, so they went and they sought out a man. And lo and behold, who do they find? David. Because he was skillful. You know, he was a good musician. And he played well, verse 17. Okay? He was cunning in playing. He was a valiant man. How did he learn that? You know, being a shepherd. He was a man of war. Okay, that's interesting. You know, he was prudent in matters. He was comely, you know, and the Lord is with him. Okay? So here, David is sought out because of his musical ability, because of his talent that way. Okay? But notice, this is not New Testament, this is Old Testament. The Spirit left Saul. Okay? The Spirit of God came upon him when he was anointed as king, but he left him. Okay? Questions, thoughts?
Just, I know that this Dr. Wilmington is a real fan of alliteration.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when I first read David, Israel's finest king,
right,
I kind of went, wait, didn't it say that the people of Israel turned to the Lord? And of Passover or whatever was held when
like
saw,
right like
has,
no other yeah, yeah 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 yeah
like no other
right
and so I kind of laid that up to
right.
alliteration
right
and but the singer part I
yeah.
wondered about that too
yeah,
because
yeah.
it never says he had a beautiful voice at all.
No, but he did write songs.
Yeah.
So because that's what psalm means, song.
Okay.
You know, so
right. so.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it probably goes hand in hand. Yeah, he didn't have a bullfrog croaking voice. He had a good voice. Okay.
He couldn't get the right.
You know, I mean, I think you know, maybe finest king, Barb. You know, overall, if you look at the whole, I think you know, with Asa, and then you know, there were taught you know. They didn't have the law for a while, then they found the law, and because they found the law, then, you know, so.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
The soldier, chapter 17. Okay, so, David hears about, well, first, before that we go there, there's a valley, turn back a couple of pages in your book. The map is on page 74. See where it says Bethlehem on 74 down in Judah? See where it says Bethlehem by the Salt Sea? Right? If you go west, about to the point of the arrow of the Philistine, okay, that's the location of the Valley of Elah, okay? Give or take. So that's about the location of where this is taking place. Where does David live? Bethlehem, right? So in this valley, on one side you have the Philistines, and on the other side of the valley you have the Israelites. And for 40 days, they're there having a standoff. And out of the middle of out into the middle of this valley for 40 days comes this 9-foot-9-inch man named Goliath. And for 40 days, he says, just send somebody out. We'll fight, him and I. If I win, you're our servants. If you win, we're your servants, right? And he does this for 40 days. But on top of that, he's defying the armies of Israel. He's defying the God of Israel, right? So back home, three of David's brothers? Three of them that were in the army. Remember, what did Samuel say the king was going to do? He's going to draft your sons, right? So three of his kids are in the military. And David's father, Jesse, says, hey, load up the wagon and take some cheese and dates and a whole bunch of stuff. Take it to your brothers, you know, and to their commanders and see how the war goes. Okay. So David heads off. He gets there, finds his brothers, you know, gives them the food. And he just so happens to hear Goliath. And I love this verse. Where is it? I love it so much I don't know where it is. Anyway, it says, is there not a cause? Oh, verse 29, right? So David says, how come no one's going out there to fight this guy? Why are you letting him defy God? Why are you letting him defy it? Isn't there a cause? You're all standing here, crippled. You look at him, and no one's going, right? And David says, I'll go. Now remember, he's a teenager, right? Not married yet, young man. And he says, I'll go. And his brothers say, go home, big brother. Go home and attend to those few sheep you have. So Saul hears about this. Saul calls him and Saul sees him. And Saul puts his armor on him. Now, Saul is head and shoulders above everybody, right? And David is probably not full grown yet. And David walks around with it and he says, I haven't proved these. I'm not going to use it. So what does he do? He takes his staff. He takes his sack, he fills his sack with 5 rocks, and he gets his sling out. I have show and tell today. The first time I went to Israel, I got a sling at this location, at the Valley of Elah. So when we think of slingshots, we think of, right? This is made out of string. They would have been made out of leather. And when you go home, you have to watch YouTube videos of these things being used, okay? This is a child's toy. These were not child's toys. These were weapons of war, okay?
They had separated strings.
They're separate strings, okay? There's a hook that goes on your middle finger, okay, to hold it. And then you hold it like this, you swing it around your head, and you release the one, and the rock flies. And the leather ones, you ever hear a whip? You know what that whip sound, that crack is? That's the whip breaking the sound barrier. These things, when they're leather and the guys shoot them, crack because they're breaking the sound barrier. That's how fast they go. And I watched some guys, Middle Eastern guys, kids too, from here to the back door, hit a cast iron frying pan. Accurate, right? So I got this the first time I went. The second time We didn't go up to the tourist spot where I bought this, and Joanna was with us. We actually went down in the valley. The bus pulled over on the side of the road, and the brook that David got the five stones out of was dried up this time of the year, and I got five stones out of the same brook that David got five stones out of, okay? You're not allowed to bring these out of Israel, but I did. These come from the brook that runs through the Valley of Elah. Now, I don't know if his were bigger, whatever, but they, and just think that this is not a little boy's toy. Even though Goliath mocked David, David's mighty men said they could sling stones with both hands, okay? So these are mighty men of war. They could shoot arrows left-handed and right-handed, okay? So when you think of, I mean, just think of our rubber slingshot. I wouldn't want to get hit in the head with a rock. And these things are faster. Just watch it when you go home. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so David, remember, he's filled with the Spirit. And I love the fact that it says in verse 39, when Saul put his armor on him, David, at the end of verse 39, says, put them off. Right? What are we told to take off and put on? Take off the garments, right? Spotted by the flesh, right? And put on the armor of God. And who is David filled with? The Spirit. He says, this uncircumcised Philistine, he's no different than the bear and the lion that I killed, right? So he comes out and Goliath laughs at him. You know, the Philistine looked at him and said, and he disdained him. He says, he's but a youth and ruddy. This little red-headed stepchild you're sending out here to fight me, right? He's good looking. He does not look like a warrior. He's got no armor on. Here's Goliath with his helmet of brass, with his, I have some stuff written down. So he's if 6 cubits in a span, he's 9'9", so he's almost 10 foot tall, okay? His coat, his armored coat weighs 157 pounds. Some people don't even weigh 157 pounds. His coat weighs 157 pounds. His spear head weighs 18 pounds, okay? And if that wasn't enough, he has a guy carrying a big shield in front of him, right? So, pretty impressive. Here comes little David. And what does it say David did? Ran toward him. Right? He ran right at him. He took a stone out of his bag. He spun it around. And he let it fly. And it hit him right in the middle of the forehead. Over. Then he goes, because what did David say he was going to do? I'm going to cut your head off. Right? He's got no sword in his hand. So whose sword did he use? He used Goliath's own sword to cut off his head. Right? And then, of course, the champion of the Philistines is dead. So all of their air in their balloon went, and all of the air came back to Israel, right? So what can a spiritual victory in the life of somebody do for other people, right? Encourage them, right? Who should have been out there? Saul should have been out there, right? But, you know, God sent David, and David comes along, and David... It wasn't David that killed him. It wasn't even David's stone. Right? It was the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I believe with all my heart that David, it wasn't like just, oh, I hope this worked. You know, David knew this was going to happen. David was a good shot, you know. What attacks, if a rock will sink into a head of a giant, you think a rock will chase off a wolf and a coyote and whatever they had over there, you know? You know, so.
Well, he even told everybody in verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the power of the bear,
yep.
He will
deliver me, yep,
out of the hand of this Philistine.
Yep. So, you know, I don't know how much time passes between chapter 16 when he's anointed and chapter 17, but David's maturing, you know. David's giving God the credit, you know. And David had great faith, okay. And I think, though, that his brother, Eliab, had, for verse 28, he had forgot about Samuel's anointing, you know, because he said, you know, basically his anger was kindled against David, you know. So what was he looking at? Eliab was looking at the flesh, you know. Eliab himself was petrified. Eliab was in the army and should have been out there fighting, but he was petrified. All right. Go ahead.
I looked at this and I said David had confidence. And Goliath had overconfidence.
Yeah.
And I made stuff like this when I was growing up. I made slings. It's the string that breaks the speed of sound. It's not the rock.
Right, right. It's the yes. When you let go of it, and it's when it comes around. It's the whip, right? Not the rock. It's the whip. Yeah.
I also made. We used to take corn stalks, cut a notch in, about so long, put a rock in the end of it. Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't as accurate because the notch, you know, and each rock is different.
Right.
But the sling was accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, and this
frying pan thing, they were a whole lot more accurate than that.
This is really not, I mean, this isn't what they use, you know what I'm saying? This is a toy. They didn't use a toy, you know, and
they were generally twice as long.
Yeah, they were longer. And they showed this one guy, he could do it and let go. There's underhand, there's overhand, there's sidearm, you know, it's just, it all had to do with where you let go, you know, and anyway, but just watch it, it's pretty cool. Okay?
Can I ask a question?
Uh-huh, maybe I don't have an answer, but.
Well, I actually just remembered, and I looked it up, that I read somewhere that there was a reason why David took 5 stones.
Yep.
Is it
maybe?
You don't. It's, yeah, because it is a maybe, but
right. Some people think he was just prepared. Mm-hmm. He just chose 5 stones. Other people think that if you read in chapter, it mentions other relatives of Goliath, and there were 4 other giants, so which David's mighty men killed the other 4, but I don't know. I don't know if that is the reason.
Okay.
You know, could be.
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, we don't know because it doesn't say, but it is very interesting that there are 5 giants recorded that all somehow belonged to Goliath, you know,
yeah,
and he picks 5 stones.
Okay.
I don't know. Is that what you read?
Yeah, that's what I was just wondering it. What you felt about that. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Sure, it very well can be. I'm not saying it's not.
Right.
But it doesn't say.
Yeah, we can't be dogmatic.
Exactly.
Right?
Can't be dogmatic. But, you know, it could be like, you know, we could put it in today's vernacular, right? David took his Smith and Wesson 38 and he put his 5 rounds in it, but he only needed 1. I mean, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, Goliath had an AK-47 and a bazooka and a, you know, and a grenade launcher and a tank, you know, and David came after him with a, you know, Saturday Night Special. I'm just being, you know, but David was, if you look at it from a army, a warrior, a man of war perspective, David was outgunned. But David had God, and his confidence was in God and the ability that God gave him. And like Andy said, Goliath's confidence was in, I'm a big, bad Leroy Brown, you know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
And you know, and I've got all this armor.
He doesn't
you
know that
much. bad Leroy Brown.
Well, here's, since you brought it up, here's a little bit more to that. I'm a pastor, not big on the numbers and stuff, but and there were, you know, five giants, but and five being the number of grace and all. But David also had to fight the giant of pride and four other giants in his life, you know, sins and stuff. And so it's just interesting.
It is.
And,
it's interesting.
And I think, just myself, I think the Lord was the one that said, you get five sons.
Yeah, I mean, that's very possible, Andy. And it could have just been also that he was well prepared, right? When you go hunting, you have a quiver full of arrows, right? You know, and you know, so.
I've tried to do research on this before, and I don't know for sure, and I don't think the fellows that I read after knew for sure either. But those other four giants, they tend to think that they not only kin to Goliath, but perhaps even four of his actual brothers.
Mm-hmm. One of them had 24 digits,
mm-hmm.
six toes and fingers on each hand. So imagine getting punched by a guy with an extra knuckle who's big, real big. But anyway, so that is, you know, and then he cuts off his head and carries it around. It's a trophy.
That was heavy.
That was, yeah, I mean, he probably had a big old head. I mean, think about it, 10-foot head, you know, and so, of course, but what way? It encouraged everybody, you know. Of course, later on, the sword was kept up, and later on, David would use it, but, you know. But then David gets sought, okay? He begins, in chapter 18, he begins a lifelong friendship with Jonathan, okay? Who's Jonathan?
Saul's son.
With that in mind, who is next in line to be king?
Jonathan.
Should have been Jonathan, right? But Jonathan knew that God had chosen David and rejected his father, right? So it shows the spirituality of Jonathan. And they had a lifelong friendship. There are passages in there that say, and the gay people jump right on this, they say that the love between Jonathan and David surpassed the love that a man has for a woman, okay? And so I have heard this with my own ears, that they say that David and Jonathan were lovers, you know. Of course, what does that, that's not the case, okay? But what it does mean is they just loved each other. They were best of friends, right? And of course, that did not make his father Saul happy, right? And then the people, David's popularity is starting to grow because they're even singing songs. You know, David killed Saul killed his 1,000, but David killed his 10,000, right? So Saul is just not happy, and it occurred his wrath. Remember why is he angry now at his best soldier? Why the man who just killed your biggest giant, your biggest enemy, who crippled your army, why are you mad at him and throwing spears at him?
Pride.
Yeah. And the spirit of the Lord left him.
Right?
Right?
Jealousy.
Jealousy.
He saw in David what he used to have.
Yep. and you know, he's realizing what he's lost and all of this. And thankfully, I guess you could say thankfully, Saul didn't go out to fight Goliath, because we learn from all the spear chucking that he did, he's not very good, because he missed. He threw it at his son and missed. Threw it at David at least two, maybe three times and missed, you know. So he wasn't at the top of his game when it came to his spear throwing. And so he promises to give him his daughter, but he doesn't do it. But then he gave him a different daughter, Michal, if he would kill 100 Philistines. And he did that, and he went out and killed 200. And so David married his first of many wives. Okay? Remember, this is not God's plan. Okay? Here's another reason why I believe that the Bible is God's word. Because it writes about the sins of men, right? If men were writing it, if you were writing a book about yourself, would you include the bad things?
No.
No, you know. And, you know.
At least gloss him over.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, David had many wives, and even though David was a man after God's own heart, what do we see so often when we study the life of Jacob? And Jacob had two wives and two concubines. What kind of household did he have? You know, brothers were killing each other and shelling each other and fighting. And, you know, what happens with Absalom? And, you know, brothers killing brothers. So it's definitely not of God, okay? Two become one flesh. Not four, not six, not eight. Two become one flesh. And it always, always, always messes up the home, okay?
That actually reminded me of a couple of things. One, you know, the world boasts, well, you know, my first wife and I were, you know, we get along, we're, you know, doing it for the kids, and you see like this, you know that behind the scenes it's not really like that. And they actually have put out reality television shows about the multiple wives.
Yeah.
And guess what? There's drama.
Yeah.
If there wasn't drama, they wouldn't be able to put a TV show together. So.
Exactly. Now, I mean, I know sometimes divorce happens, and it's not a good thing, you know. But it happens. And God, it's not the unpardonable sin like many denominations and churches believe. It's not. You know, and I'm a product of a divorced home. My mom and dad were divorced, and Sandy's, and it affects the kids. And we were even on the adult side, and our sisters were younger, and Sandy and I, you know, in the midst of our parents' divorce, we got married, so we were kind of able to, you know, but we had to pick up the pieces of our sisters' lives. And so to have, you know, to go against God's plan, no matter who you are, it's not good. And David, even though he was a man after God's own heart, was not exempt from the problems, right, of the home. So, 1 Samuel 22. David is an outlaw. He went to a cave, Adullam. Adullam means refuge. And there he started to get together an army. And notice who came to him, verse 2. Everyone that was in distress. That word carries the idea of anxiety. Okay? Everyone that was in debt. Okay? No more property. Right? Remember what the king does to you? You know? And everyone that was discontent means they were bitter. So this is the people that's coming around David. I have a message on this text called David's Motley Crew. And it's just, you know, but these are some of the men that would become David's mighty men. And they were discontent with what was going on around them. And they gathered around God's man, and they were able to do great things. Of course, David goes to the priest Abiathar, who's hungry, him and his men. They gave him food, and he asked for a sword, and they gave him Goliath's sword. And there was a man there, Doeg, that was there, and he told, and Saul came. Oh, the depths of Saul's sin. He slaughtered 85 priests, right? Because they helped, quote unquote, public enemy number one, okay? And think about that, how terrible that must be. And so, you know, during this time, David is running, he's hiding, he's making some allegiances with people he probably shouldn't make allegiance with, right? You know, and the one time he got himself in so deep, he had to pretend he was mad, right? He starts foaming at the mouth and scraping and running around acting like a crazy guy, you know, and everybody said, well, he's mad, you know, so. But God was with him, and David had the opportunity on two occasions to kill Saul in a cave, right? Both times. One time he snuck up on him who was the guard? Who was his right-hand man? Who was Saul's right-hand man? Anyhow. Abner? Was it Abner? Or whoever it was now. But they're sleeping, and he sneaks up, cuts a corner of his thing off, and takes the water bottle, and he says, look, I could have killed you tonight, right? And then another time, he goes into the cave to relieve himself, and David is there, and he cuts a piece of his thing off, and two times he delivered him, but he didn't kill him, right? Because David said, I'm not killing the Lord's anointed. And so he spares his life, and David and Saul no longer seeks to kill him. And David marries his second wife, Abigail, after Abigail's husband refused to feed feed them. Nabal, his name was, and he died, and David marries his second wife, and his first wife, Michal, Saul gave to another man, you know, nice father-in-law, and
nice father.
Yeah. So David completed his mighty men, and you can read about that in 1 Chronicles 12, what they're able to do, you know, and talks about how they were men of war. They knew the times. They had spiritual perception. You know, they could sling rocks, shoot arrows. They were just mighty men. And isn't it amazing that one time David desired, oh man, you know what I really want, right? I want a drink from the well in Bethlehem. That was just the best water. And two of his mighty men break through enemy lines, risking their own lives to get their leader a drink of water. And David realizes what they did, and he didn't drink it, and he poured it out unto God, you know, as a thank offering, you know. And these men and their exploits, what they did, and how one guy talks about he defended a field, and all day long he fought with his hand, and when he was done with the battle, he couldn't open his hand, you know, because his hand clave to the sword. You know, oh, there's such good messages in all those. I preach to them. But you imagine that, you know, and just had a death grip on his sword, and talks about people who could run fast and people who could, you know, kill the other giants and whatnot. So mighty, mighty, mighty men, okay?
You ever had your hand clave in something?
Mm-hmm. Yes, not, of course, not like that, but I've had, you know, where your muscles tightened up and things. It's painful, too, you know.
So. I split wood so long with a gobbler in my hand that I couldn't let go of it.
Mm-hmm. So it's you know, David carried out various raids and And in chapter 28, we have the sad account of Saul realizing that the kingdom is just slipping away from him, right? So who does he go to visit? The witch of Endor, right? And in visiting the witch of Endor, he disguises himself because Saul and Samuel said, if there's any witches, kill them. So he comes, he disguises himself, and then when she realized who he was, you know, he had to convince her, I'm not here to kill you, you know, but conjure up Samuel for me, okay? And Saul, I'll back up in a minute, but Samuel appears, right? And Samuel says, why are you bothering me from my peaceful rest? And he tells him, you're going to die tomorrow. You know, you and your son are going to die. And so, you know, we'll learn about that next week. But, chapter 31, we see he dies, right? The Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul. He was really wounded bad, right? And he told his armor bearer to kill me so that these Philistines don't kill me. And he said, well, I ain't doing that. So Saul falls on his sword, okay? We'll pick up next week about a young man who comes along and says, I killed him, and then we'll discuss, did Saul kill himself? Did he kill? Well, we'll talk about that next week. But just like Samuel said, Saul dies, right? And Jonathan dies, sadly. You know, in Saul's sin, just as David's victory brought victory to all of the army of Israel, Saul's defeat, you know, his sin affected his family. And the good man Jonathan died, right? So, what about, was this really Samuel? Number one, I believe it really was Samuel. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that leads us to a question. Can people be conjured up from the dead? Right? We've heard of seances and mediums, you know, and, you know, where people, I need to talk to grandma, you know. And there's no doubt there's a lot of that stuff that is just plain old hucksterism. You know what we mean by it's just people who, you know, are making merchandise off of, you know, mourning, gullible people. But this lady was a witch. So, you know, A, was she pretend, you know, he gives some possible things. It was merely the product of psychological impressions. So the witch was able to psychologically bring up Samuel, you know, and made Saul, okay, I don't believe that, okay? And because what happened? He predicted that you would be dead. It was a demon or Satan impersonating Samuel. The Satans or demon don't have that kind of knowledge, okay? It was a hoax. Or it was Samuel. I believe at this time, God allowed Samuel to come back. Okay, this is not the norm. Probably the reason that the witch screamed and ran away was because it really was Samuel. And it scared her. So either that means one of two things. Either everything she did before was a hoax, or her particular demon that tricked everybody in the past was not there. It was Samuel, you know. So
he got above her pay grade.
Yes. Yep. And it scared her, you know. And so that's that, you know. So sadly, we saw the rise of Saul and the fall of Saul to his death. and we see the rise of David, and we see more and more of Israel following David, and we'll learn how he led for so many years, and then he led all of Israel, you know, to where his total kingdom was 40 years. But we'll talk about some very interesting things next week with this young man who came and claimed he killed Saul. Okay? Did he? I don't know, but it's very interesting. Remember the people that God told Samuel to destroy, the Amalekites?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Guess what he was?
Mm-hmm.
An Amalekite.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. Makes you go, All right, any questions or thoughts?
Yeah, but it's more of a rabbit trail.
Okay.
So this guy that Saul gave his oldest daughter to.
Yeah.
I got curious about that.
Started.
Can you shed any light on that?
Not at the current time, no.
Yeah. So. Probably I'll wait on that.
Well, and then he gave his second daughter away too, so, you know, to another, David married, and his first wife, Michael, had been given to, by Saul, to another man in chapter 25, verse 44. So.
Was Saul mad because she helped David escape?
Yep.
So he punished her by
shooting
her off.
Yeah.
I have a question. I'm not doubting that the witch brought up Samuel, because I really don't.
It's
one of those things that's like, you know, you're not going to know necessarily, but have you ever dug into the Hebrew? Because when I read it, I see words like bring up or out of the earth.
Right.
That's interesting to me, because
right. We
know that hell is down and
right.
heaven is up. And then
right.
Also,
well, at that time, though, where was
would
Saul have been?
Down.
Saul would have been down.
Yeah.
In paradise.
And
paradise
then,
was below the earth at that time.
Saul didn't see... It seems like Saul didn't actually see Samuel, because he says, "What seest thou?" Saul perceived,
right.
meaning he came to realize or interpret, because
right.
then he fell on his face.
Right, that it was him. So there are people who believe that he was cloaked and couldn't kind of see inside.
Yeah.
There are people, that's where some people get that first, where she like gave an impression to him, you know, that he saw it in his mind, but not in. But
then
yeah.
he heard.
You
would think that, you know, he would definitely recognize
yeah.
the voice.
And this, even though he went to the witch, I believe also it wasn't the witch that did this. God allowed this to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this is not the ordinary, you know. And,
right. They said past people at the Transfiguration, but that's New Testament.
Yeah.
We see Moses and Elijah in...
Yeah.
robed in glory, but as you just reminded me,
he didn't have
something different. He was
didn't have a body then.
Yeah.
His body would have been in the earth. So what and here's another thing. To show the depth of Saul, you know, he kills all the priests, then he goes to a witch. Who could he have went to?
Mm-hmm.
He could have went to the Lord. He
well,
could have.
It
you
says,
know?
It says that he earlier
sought the Lord.
Yeah,
right?
He
yeah.
through Urim and what else?
Urim and is that where it meant?
Through dreams. He,
yeah, yeah.
he did not hear from the Lord through dreams or Urim.
Yeah.
So. Maybe it wasn't that he was seeking, he was just sitting back wanting the Lord to...
Yeah.
And
but he never repented.
Yeah.
There's no mention of repentance. No mention of repentance, you know. which is sad, which is very sad.
You don't believe Saul ever, I mean,
oof, doesn't seem like it.
Okay.